Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You got to kind of dive down to build up, you know, where you want to be at. You know,
the pivot.
It's a pivot that you know, we knew we was going to hit this point at some point where you got to shut everything that we doing like down for a second, so that when it rebrands and rebuilds up, that you just that much stronger.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop, a mic drop, bag drop.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is going to be an educational and interesting episode. So I always like to tell backstories of the episode before we actually get into it. So we were in Chicago a few months ago. At what event was that? The Men's Summit?
Blueprint Summit.
The Blueprint Men's Summit, right?
Yeah.
Dope event. And we were in, they had like a holding room, which was in the tower. Like an apartment at the time, so like a holding room. Yeah.
So, no, holding room sounds crazy. It's definitely a penthouse. It was fly.
Green room. Right?
green room.
That's what it was. It's a green room.
It's nice. It's the best one I've been in. Yeah,
no, I'm just saying it's a green room as far as that's what you talent. Everybody's sitting.
The talent was in it for sure.
So yeah. So we was meeting a bunch of people, a few of our friends from Chicago, and then I met Mark. And he had introduced himself to me. And it's kind of like the East Side Golf situation where people always ask all the time, like, how can I get on the show? And then people always approach me all the time, like, can I get on the show? I'm flipping houses. I'm like, it's not really a unique situation. No disrespect, but there's a lot of people that flip houses. There's a lot of people that, you know, day trade stocks. But when he said he had a bread company, I'm like, that's interesting.
That's a first.
I never met anybody that had a bread company.
Right.
And then he was kind of just explaining to me, you know, the journey, why it was important, the whole process. We had about like 20-minute conversation.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. And then actually I found out that they had tickets. There was ticket holders to InvestFest. Mm-hmm. They brought tickets to InvestFest Europe, I believe VIP tickets.
Yeah.
They couldn't make it, ended up donating the tickets to the event in London. So in 2023, when we think about new episodes and highlighting new entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. he came to mind. And I hit him up and I'm like, yo, you interested in coming on the show? He's like, let's do it. And here we are. So this is a dope episode, Black Owned Bread Company. The name of the company is called Black Bread Co. So we got Mark and Jamel, CEOs of the brand. Yeah. And it's something that has caught a lot of attention recently. And we always talk about how we need to like do more for ourselves, especially when it comes to food.
Facts.
It's right. Important, right? Because it's like we're always relying on somebody else.
Exactly.
And as far as entrepreneurship, this isn't something that's really that sexy. Like right. Everybody wants to have a clothing brand. No disrespect. Everybody wants to have a clothing brand. Everybody right. wants to now do podcasts. Everybody wants to. And those are important as well. But it's like life essentials.
Exactly.
Are most important, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this conversation. So first and foremost, thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you.
You know, it's a pleasure to be here for sure.
They came decked out too. Love it.
So all right, so let's get into this. I got some questions, but before, where does this start? How do you decide you want to start a bread company?
Yeah, well, you know what? It started in 2020, you know, with the George Floyd situation. You know, for me, it was my personal protest. So my wife sent me to the grocery store. I had a list. First thing that was on the list just happened to be bread. So I was extremely intentional on, you know, supporting and buying only African-American owned products. So as I walked into the bread aisle, literally, I was in this aisle for about 45 minutes and there was no African-American owned sliced bread companies. And then, you know, I couldn't believe it. So I left the store. I didn't purchase anything. You know, I called my best friends like, yo, we got to do something about this. It was more so of a call to action. And that sparked the whole initiative. Like, yo, we have to do this because the fact that we can't feed ourselves in our own communities, you know, is a real problem that we have not yet really addressed, you know, because between us and Master P and a handful of others, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a lot of people that's actually going into this industry. And the crazy part about it, it's a big industry. Like bread alone, you're talking about $333 billion a year that's, you know, that's in this bread industry that we are not tapping into, you know. And from there, you know, the Black Bread Co. was born and, we got started.
So he calls you. What's this conversation like? Because I can imagine calling Shadi and saying like, bro, we got to start a bread company. He's going to be like, all right, whatever. Right. But how's this really going to work? We know nothing about bread. We've never been in the food industry. At the time, you're doing something completely different. Right. What's this phone call like?
Well, honestly, it was quick, bro. So the main thing is, for me, it's founded on our friendship, our brotherhood. I know my brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know how he thinks. I know how he moves. I know how he operates, right?
Yeah.
So when he called me, for me, it was quick. It was already a done deal. He called me. He was excited. And I know when he has an idea, one, it's a grand idea. It's something big. It's something, in my opinion, that not the average person or the average mind would think of. So that's one. It always comes with high level ideas. And then two, it was a crazy idea. I knew he was gonna do it.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna leave me out if you finna go do one of the greatest things I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And then instantly my mind went to, okay, how can I add value to this thought, to this idea? He's bringing me something at the time it was intangible. Like we didn't have anything. We didn't know anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I look at myself and I take pride in being able to, one, make something out of nothing, but I can see things and I take pride in executing and getting them done and making them tangible. So those skills lined up in terms of us, you know, being friends and us being, you know, our backgrounds in different industries, but it was a done deal from jump. Just because of who brought it to me, to be honest.
So, all right. So what, so this is 2019?
2020. Yeah.
So what's the steps? All right. So you decide that you want to have a bread company because you go to the grocery store, you can't find any bread. Yeah. But what happens after that?
So for an entire year, so from that time until February, we literally did all the research. You know, we hired attorneys. You know, we wanted to do a search and see, was there actually a African-American owned sliced bread company? You know, we didn't want to, you know, say anything that wasn't true, you know, and also we was doing the research on what it takes to have a bread company, right? And so one thing that we knew for sure is we ain't know how to bake no bread, right? We, especially like no mass producing bread. So first thing that we secured was, you know, a chef. You know, we had to find someone that's able to, you know, put a recipe together, make some bread, and a high quality loaf of bread. So we knew what we wanted. And I think that's the key, is to really map out and know what you want, what type of quality that you're looking for. You know, we've been eating bread our entire lives. So we know we don't want a bread that's going to tear, you know, that's going to be, you know what I'm saying, cheap and flimsy. And at the same time, because it's the first African-American owned sliced bread, we wanted the highest quality, period. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, you know, we get hit with the black people don't know how to do business, right?
Right.
You know, we get those stigmas and things of that nature. So we had to make sure that we represent well. And so after we got the chef, you know, we had to find a manufacturer, or what we call a co-packer, right, that can take this product, formulate it, and then start producing it. And then they can produce it at a, you know, high, you know, quantity, things of that nature. And so in that, as you imagine, it's a pandemic. No one's taking face-to-face meetings,
right?
You know, so it took us a long time to find a co-packer. We finally found one out in Wisconsin that was like, yeah, just come on down. You know, we'd love to hear you guys out. And so, like, during this meeting, the guy being in the industry for over 40 years, he said, listen, I just got to tell you this. Just like, I never had a meeting with no black people. You know, he's like, I never sat across a table with no black people talking about no bread. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you guys going to do this, he said, to be honest with you, y'all going to have a lot of people shook in this industry, because y'all can go from here to here and, you know, matter in no time, you know, because what we found out is the industry, they know we're going to take, you know, our portion, but they don't know where it's going to end and where it's going to start,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, when he said that, you know, we just kind of like looked across the table at each other. It's like, you know, we know it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, we did a couple of sample runs. You know, once we had samples, because Jamel always said, man, we can't be no bread company without no bread. Right? like that wouldn't work out. And then once we had the bread, we tasted the bread. It was right. We all approved it. We all signed off on it. And now that we got the bread, now it was in Jamel's ballpark as far as marketing it, you know, getting it out here. And of course, we did the whole, you know, Jamel talked more about that, like designing the packages, you know, getting the bag design, you know, getting the packaging, because that's huge, right? A lot of us don't know how to go get packaging for different products, you know, so that's something that we try to show.
How long was that process, though, because the chef is making the recipes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you went through hundreds, if not maybe thousands of times.
Thousands.
Thousands of recipes. Of
thousands.
And y'all are eating the bread.
Oh, absolutely. Man, dude.
So
2020 was a
crazy. I'm in the gym now going crazy, man.
So talk about that, like finding the chef and then finding the right recipe that says, all right, this is authentic, this is what we're going with.
Yeah. So once again, so when we was had the chef, you know, of course, he'd come out with, you know, 15 to 20 different types of bread, and we'd eat it. And each one has something different, right? So one would have, it's sweet, but it falls apart, it's too soft. Another one will have, you know, it's firm, but it's nasty, you know? Another one will have, it's good, it's firm, it's sweet, but the crust look crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was just all these different types of bread. Then at the same time, we wanted something that we can be consistent with as well, right? Because we don't want to put one product out and then it's just inconsistent. So after eating this bread, you know, we did gain a lot of weight. At least I did, you know. You know, after doing all that, we finally, like, it was like down to the last one. It was at this point, it was really like, bro, we might have to find another chef. You know what I'm saying? Because like he's not getting it.
It didn't taste good?
Yeah, it just didn't taste good, man. And we knew we couldn't present that to nobody. And then finally, man, he was like, hey, here's a batch. So we went in, ate the bread, and we was like, hold on. Dude, this bread might be it. And then we was like, man, let's make a sandwich with it. And I actually took that bread home, and I made a sandwich for my wife and kids. You know, I didn't tell them it was our bread. You know, I just wanted to get like an honest opinion on how they felt about it. And man, they smashed that bread. My wife was like, man, there's some good bread right here. She was like, y'all bread need to taste like this. And that's when I knew. I was like, yep, that's our bread. Got right one. There.
So what kind of bread is it?
So it's a premium white bread, because it's a honey wheat bread. So one thing we didn't want to do off the back is niche ourselves. You know, it's okay to go into a niche afterwards, but we want to go and compete with the, you know what I'm saying, the Sara Lee's and the top bread brands out here, right? So we wanted to go head to head with them, you know. So we wanted to make sure, like, if they had a honey wheat, we wanted a honey wheat. And a premium white, that's a premium white. And those are two highest selling bread types in the industry.
Was it intentional? And I guess I'll go to Jamel with this. The labeling of it, right? Because when you said premium white bread, but even when I look at the larger label, it's the first gourmet premium white bread.
Yeah.
That's very intentional?
Everything. I mean, intentionality is really the key, number one. But everything we did was intentional, from the look, from even just when you think of our culture and our people, bro. Excellence, bro. It had to represent Black excellence. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. For me, when I hear ideas, when I hear thoughts, I automatically go to programming. You know what we say. We even from down to the design. We had times where we were looking through designs, and we were like, "Oh, this is the one. This is the one." And we would sit with it for weeks at a time, and you know, redesign and restructuring. And it was just one point that I didn't want to be a sore thumb. I didn't want to kill the vibe. But I was like, I went back to the beginning, and I remember Mark saying that this bread, our products, have to sit on the countertops of a Diddy. Or Jay-Z. It's got to be in their homes. We got to get to that point.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I looked at one of the packages one weekend. I was just at home, and I gave Mark a call. I was like, man, I hate to do this. I hate to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't want the energy to be off or anything. But I'm like, we got to go back to the drawing board, bro. Mm.
Yeah.
We got to go back to ground zero. We got to go back to scratch in terms of design, until it's right, until it's what it is, Black excellence. So that's down to the bags, the black and gold. You know, just bringing that royal, that excellent vibe. And now, like, fast forward to now, we're to the point where our people are proud of, the way the product tastes, of course, but also proud of how it looks, how it feels. You pick it up off that grocery shelf. We got people holding it up like it's money, like the bread is
money.
That's
the first time in history for that, man. Ain't nobody ever take no pictures of no loaf of bread, bro.
And you say it all the time. You got a favorite picture. Yeah. It's a young girl, maybe 4 or 5 years old, in the store with her grandmother hugging the bread, in the checkout line, holding our bread, holding the package. You know what I mean? So
that picture told me, like, that's what we did it for. You know, because we all remember, like, the bread we grew up on. You know, like, those that, like, this is generations that we're talking about that's going to grow up on this product, right? And as the product grows and the brand grows, it's for that, because that little girl told her grandma, take this picture of me, because it's her first time buying a black bread company. And she's been buying it ever since. And so that is the point, is we should be able to go to these grocery stores, these big box chains, which we spend in, how much money is our spending power?
1.8 trillion, something like that.
Yeah, 8 trillion, like that, something crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's our spending power. Where are we spending it at? Really? A lot of it is in these big box stores, right? And once again, we're not doing anything for our communities. And we wonder why our communities are falling apart. You know, why our communities is crazy. Like, when we just take that mindset and let's just look around, every aspect of the life, this microphone, this stand, this couch, this table, it's like all this is being manufactured, all this is being made, produced somewhere. Nothing is free. Somebody's getting paid off of everything. Mm-hmm. But where's our participation in it?
Yeah.
You know, when you really just think about the vast amount of material products and things that we use, where are we at with it? It's crazy. You can go to a church or school. You can see floors and towels and chairs and tables and napkins. Like, and we don't have anything. And then we wondering why we so disfranchised financially.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you have a formula that you use to make bread, right?
Correct.
The first question that I have is, do you trademark that, or do you have a patent for that, or how do you stop somebody else from using that same formula? Is that possible?
You have to, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you want to trademark your formula. You know, the only thing with the food industry, you know, they can tweak your formula with one or two recipe changes.
True.
So the thing is, you know, people can know the formula, but they don't know how to make it. Meaning, what's our bake time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's, you know, how long do we, you know what I'm saying, process our, you know what I'm saying, our dough? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's those type of formulas? You know, how hot is the water? You know, when we mixing and doing the stirring, you know, how long do we mix it? You know, so it's more of the you know, instructions that you really want to keep more secret than what's in it. You know, because I can give you the 11 seasons of you know, KFC or somebody, right? But if you don't know the process of how long they're going to fry it, what oil they using, you know, and things of that nature, it's not going to be the same.
So, all right. So you get the blueprint of how to make it. Then the guy in Wisconsin, he has a factory where he's making it.
Correct. Yeah.
So you he's say, this is the ingredients, the eggs, the water, whatever. And he's making like 10 different people's products.
Exactly.
In a big factory.
Yeah. So like, you guys would be surprised, man. These manufacturing plants, everybody's product is being made in this.
Same.
So like, our bread is being made in the same factories as some of the largest bread companies that you guys may eat in your entire life. So for them, that's what they do. And that's something that we have to learn, you know, because we feel when you want to start a business, if your grandma got that old fish fry recipe, you think you got to go out here and put all the stuff together yourself in your basement and seal it all up and then do that. That's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you start getting to a store.
And it's not like, scalable.
And it's not scalable.
That's the
point. You know, what we want to do, we want to be able to be scalable. We want to be sustainable. And when a company, so we going into Target in this May, 2023, and imagine going to Target and be like, yeah, you know, I make this in my basement. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that.
Right.
You know?
That was actually one of our pitfalls, if you will, from the beginning. We've had a relationship with Target almost since we started.
It's
been about 2 years we've been going back and forth with Target and getting our infrastructure together so that we can handle
so we can that, handle that.
That. That was the main thing.
You know,
they like the brand.
Can't scale too fast.
Yeah, they like the brand. They, you know, they've been on board. You know, you know enough of what they represent. They wanted to work with us. But we had to get in that place where we, like you said, we were scaling to that point where we can handle it.
So, before you get to Target, though, like, after he's manufacturing Wisconsin and producing it, what's the next step? Because now I'm looking at it like, well, how do we even get it to the people, right? Are we just handing it out? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So we had to bridge the gap. Let's be honest. Let's go back to the sample run. We ordered a sample run of 100 loaves of bread, gave it to our family. Our now brand manager, Star, Connect to Stars.
Shout out to Star.
One time for Star.
One time for Star. She actually, she knew we were prepared enough. We had taken a year. That was one thing. Nobody knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
We were quiet. We worked in silence. We did all of our research. So it gave us time, right? Star happened to know, being close enough, she knew we were ready. She knew we were ready to launch, but we weren't going to push the button.
Nah,
we were trying to be perfect.
She pulled the
trigger.
Yeah,
we weren't going to push the button. She lets a post go off on social media. Things go crazy. So now in our minds, it's like, okay, we have to launch. We're ready to launch. We have to launch. We had no following, no followers. We had locked down our pages, you know, the social media where, you know, it was a placeholder, but no, you know, following at all. And finally, I was like, yo, we got 2 days, right? I built the website in 2 days, put the products up on the site for pre-order. We had, you know, we had a couple loaves of bread, put the products for pre-order on the digital site. Basically, we did a live stream, Facebook and Instagram.
Thanks.
No following, but we was like, man, let's just see if people really rock with the idea, with the thought of it, right? We were online for about 20, 30 minutes. We had 10,000 people on IG, 10,000 people on Facebook watching. Finally, I was like, yo, y'all can go to blackbreadco.com and pre-order the
bread.
Yeah,
he surprised us with it because he wasn't even ready for it.
Yeah, so I'm watching the phones. I'm watching the, you know, the laptop.
Yeah.
It's going crazy. So we like, yo, we got something.
We got something.
Now we got enough capital to go put an order in for the bread.
So you was pretty much on consignment.
Bro.
You didn't have, so you you put the product out before you had the money.
But everything was was clear to the customer.
And here's the thing, bro. Like at that point in our business bank account, we had $1.87 left. We had burnt through all of our savings. You know what I'm saying? Like we like this.
How much money did it cost to start the whole
thing? So we start the whole thing with $15,000. You know, so we have $15,000 that we started with.
And that's to get the LLC.
That's to get the LLC,
trademark.
The trademark.
The manufacturer
bags, chefs, the bags.
How much did you make at first? Like, what was the first?
I think so. When we launched, when he did the launch, I think that day we ended up doing close to like $10,000.
No, how much did you make as far as like the bread? Like when you gave the first order, was it like 20 pounds?
Oh no. So it goes by loaves. So our first order was probably over. Like maybe 5,000 order, 5,000 loaves of bread.
5,000 loaves of bread.
Yeah, 5,000 loaves of bread. Yeah. So we did like over 5,000 loaves of bread. And the orders kept coming in.
Right.
You know, and that's when I knew, because I'm like, dude, if this don't work, like, yo, like, you know, we gonna have to figure something out. You know, somebody gotta put their house up. You
know. but it was the energy.
Yeah, it's the energy around it.
Like when you starting a brand or you building something. Like even just a test, even being prepared, of course. But once you just put that test, that filler out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to see the response that we got back, it started a fire. You know what I'm saying? So we started shipping online. It just happened like that.
Direct to consumer.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't the initial plan. The initial plan was to get on shelves, to get in stores.
Yeah, exactly. But
we started out on a pivot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So how did y'all settle on a price point? Because when I hear the branding of it, and I'm hearing gourmet and I'm hearing premium, I'm not thinking that I'm buying Wonder Bread anymore. I'm doing something different.
Exactly.
So how'd y'all settle on the price point for the loaves?
Well, you know, for our community, you know, we didn't want to go too high, obviously, you know. So we want to be competitive, you know, in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was looking to do was pretty much match the highest brand that was out, even though our bread was better, higher quality, mm-hmm. but coming off, I was like, well, let's just match them at $3.99 retail.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, if we can match them $3.99 retail at a loaf, and then when they buy into it and they buy the bread and they see that they're getting a higher quality bread and for the same money that they was paying, you know, then that would convert that that consumer over. And so that's when we would start getting emails. Like even my auntie was like, oh my God, I can't believe like this whole time we've been eating stale bread. Because they never knew what fresh bread tastes like until we put the bread out. Because the way we was doing it is, it's in the stores within 24 hours of it being made.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a fresh bread. It's not just sitting there just being stale. You know what I'm saying? And it's a very high quality bread as well. And then so the store that we launched in, that we ended up going into in Chicago, they actually started raising the bread from $3.99. Then we went in there, it was like $4.69. The issue was that once we got started, that we wasn't even prepared for it. Cause our initial plan when we got into the store, it's like, yo, we bought a van, you know, we hired some couple people, we gonna go in, we gonna fill these stores up, you know, once or twice a week and keep it going. But when I tell you, like, the bread was flying off the shelf, where we, like, they calling us back like two or three times
a day.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, we can't do that. Like, it's impossible to hit all these stores three or four times a day because it's selling out that fast. Mm-hmm. You know, they told us that we, out of all the products that ever came in there, that we sold four times more than any product that went in today's stores. You know, and with that being said, to your point, that live that we did, you know, what that spark was, that's how we got on to, like, What's that show?
Windy City Live. Yeah, and media caught on. Yeah.
Off of Windy City Live, it's another show they do called Localish. And with Localish, it's
NBC show.
National.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a national, you know, some platform. And that's where Ellen Producers found us. You know, Ellen Producers saw that. And mind you, this is all in the first 30 days.
Yeah.
This is all in the first, like, 30 days. Like, literally, we launched February. We was on Ellen in March.
Wow.
You know, and When Ellen seen it and you know and Twitch, which, you know, rest in peace, you know, they love the bread. You know, they was going crazy for it, man. And you know, we supposed to be the first guest back to the show since the pandemic. you know, and you know,
COVID
happens, crazy stuff happens, and we end up getting locked, you know, get stuck down, and that's a whole nother story, you know, in its own. But man, when I tell you, like, all this happened in 30 days, this is what's letting us know, like, our community wants this. It's a desperate need that we can have and we can capitalize on.
How many stores did you start with? Because
44.
Y'all started with 44 stores. Based on just word of mouth, or that based on resources and people, or just networking? How did y'all establish 44 stores?
Networking. We got up and took them loaves of bread around town. Like literally, the first 100 loaves that we bought, we picked them up one night. The next morning, we got up, split up.
We went to all the Chicken Shacks, the Harold's Chickens, you know, we went to the JJ's, we went to the grocery stores, you know, and like I said, I had a little experience with products in the past, so I know the approach to get into the stores, but we were so excited. I'm like, man, we just wanted to grind this out. So we just went like face to face with people. And then when we went into Mariano's, where we are in Chicago, we literally, you know, went and talked to a buyer. Like, we had the loaves of bread. We sent it to her. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is perfect because we got a meeting tomorrow. I'm like, great, let us know. And then the next day she comes, like, they love the bread. You know, let's start setting you guys up in the system. And they did that. And then after the Ellen show, every company in the country called us and reached out to us. We had to tell all of them pretty much, no, we're not ready. No, I'm talking
not right now.
You know, the Walmarts, the Targets, the, you know, Trader Joe's, Kroger's, the, you know, Myers. Publix, Myers, like everybody, you know, even like huge companies like Kraft, you know what I'm saying, reached out, you know what I'm saying? So we had a lot of big companies reaching out, you know, but at that time we just wasn't completely ready, you know, because we didn't want to scale too fast. You know, because that's often how you lose. So we want to be a systematic scaling where we know what we're going into. We can sit there for a second. We can build it out and then go to the next thing. And then now have a gradual growth, you know, and be more control of our growth, you know, because even right now it's a cruise ship. And this is why people need products, man, because it's a cruise ship. They want to order over 150,000 loaves of bread for one ship. And that's just one delivery. So you're talking about a $400,000, you know, PO just one time, you know, and that's over and over and over. So imagine you get 10 ships, you get 15 ships, 30 ships a year, you know, like that's just one contract. You know, we negotiated a $20 million contract right now, you know, for one of those companies that they make the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, with no crust around it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't make bread. They just make peanut butter sandwiches. So they want, you know what I'm saying, to do that. So like, that's a lot of money right there. That's another contract. So then you're talking about, you know, I can't say it because we do have an NDA with them, but it's one of the largest tech companies in the country. You know, we are about to be into their cafeterias, you know, all across the country, you know, and they have over a couple hundred thousand employees, you know. So once again, that's another nice contract. So you got crazy contracts out here that's outside of just the grocery chains. So for us, you know, outside of like just the restaurants and different things of that nature, as we build our brand out, because now, you know, we have bagels, muffins, we have English muffins, we got Delta Airline, so that can be in the first class airplanes worldwide. You know, we're looking again today, they lounges and different things of that nature, you know, and it's just crazy the amount of growth that we've seen, you know, in this short amount of time.
All off one tangible product.
So let me ask you this, because it's perishable.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the actual shelf life of bread? Like 5 days, something like that?
I'm glad you answered that, man, because, you know, that's the hard... Bread is the hardest product to ever get into, period.
We learned that,
so, too. we learned that. Like, it's crazy. So bread, for us, is about 14 days. You know, we have about 14 days. We got a couple recipes now where we have a 14-day recipe. I got a 3-day recipe. So, obviously, the shorter the lifespan, the healthier the bread. You know, all our bread is all natural. You know, we don't use any artificial, anything like that, you know, things of that nature. But yeah, bread is difficult, bro. Like, so after bread, we can do anything, because it took me, was it 6 months or 9 months? It took me like
six or seven months.
Yeah, 6 or 7 months to find a distributor that could move our bread.
Yeah.
Because another thing that, another thing that we didn't know is bread companies move their own bread. You know, so they got their own.
Versus any other product.
Yeah. You so they got their own logistic company.
They got their own logistic company.
So you started with just the truck when you were in Chicago.
Exactly.
We were renting trucks.
We was renting trucks. We
started off pick up the bread. Yeah.
So you was doing it manual?
Yeah, we was doing manual.
So what was the problem? All right, so when you was first doing it and it was direct to consumer.
Correct.
You had the guy in Wisconsin make it for you.
Yeah.
Then you would pick it up and then you would actually send it out yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And box it FedEx up, and UPS mail, and stuff.
UPS. You know what? It's funny because so we've been growing. So we just now getting out of that. So now we automating that process, you know, because we want the feel to be like an Amazon, if you will. Right. We want people to know when they place an order exactly where their product is at any time. They'd be able to track it. They know exactly when they when it's going to show up and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's actually going to be start coming out of New York, you know. Right. So New York being like our second year of bread.
So you got a new person that's going to be making it.
No, so it's going to be shipped from Wisconsin to New York. From New York, it's going to be distributed.
As you started scaling, you saw obviously more orders. Do you still need to have the manufacturer in Wisconsin, or do you look through other parts of the country to find more manufacturers to shorten that process of how it's delivered?
100%. So we always looking. So right now we have like a...
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Literally like a book of manufacturers that we can use all across the country, you know, because like you, to your point, you do want like different hubs. So you need like New York needs your, New York is so large, you need your own manufacturer here. For New York consumers, mm-hmm. and then Wisconsin can take care of the Middle East. I mean,
Midwest,
and then when we get down to the South, we have a manufacturer down there that can handle the Atlanta, Texas, Florida, and then we have a West Coast one as well.
What seems to be the biggest market right now?
Ooh. I say, actually go with Atlanta right now.
Yeah.
I say Atlanta would be our largest market. You know, and then a strong next is definitely East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, so we supposed to be going into over 200 Giants here. You know,
y'all rock with Giants. You do now.
Yes.
Do
yes. Now. Yes, I do. I go so specifically for the Black Bread Company.
So all right. So as you move, all right. A few questions. So how's the logistics working? So you just shipped it off to a third party that's handling logistics?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to. And bread is so hard to handle, you know, because you can smash it, it can get smushed. It got to be at the right temperature. You're traveling across, you know, the country, you know, if it's in truck or if it's in plane, you know, what's the temperature inside of the truck? You know, if it's in boxes or if it's in bread trays, you know, it's so much that goes into it, you know, that you have to have a third party. You know, even for us, like one thing that we want to do, we want to keep our company thin. We don't want to, you know, grow too crazy and start handling too many things. A logistical company, that's its own business mm-hmm. within itself. So that's something that we don't want to do that. So we want somebody else to handle that. We do plan on having our own manufacturer at some point, but that's only through acquisition. You know, because we rather, you know, buy a existing bread manufacturing company, where that way now we absorb another brand, right? We absorb the employees and the processes and, you know, all the grandfathered in licenses and stuff is like that is already there and is already active, and we could just move straight into profit, you know, versus trying to build it from the ground up. It's going to take too long. You know, you're going to need, it's too expensive, you know, and on top of that, after you build that, you still only have your brand, mm-hmm. you know? So at some point we will make that move.
So, all right. But then when you get these cruise ship deals and tech companies and all of that, now how does that work? Because now that's a lot of product that has to be moved. So is that special logistics, or is that the same logistic route that retail people?
That's a special logistics. You know, that's almost independent. You know, so we gotta separate our company internally as far as you have retail side and you have food service side. So that would go more into the food service side, you know, where like with these cruise ships, you can't miss. They move, you know, it's not buildings. So if you got to be there at a certain time, you have to be there at that time. Otherwise, you got to catch them in the next stop. Man. And sometimes the next stop might be, you know, in an island somewhere, you know. So, you know, when it comes to them, they need their direct logistics. You know, everything needs to go straight from the manufacturer directly to them, you know, and it can't be no stops and no hesitations really like in between outside of, you know, the law, you know, that has to, it just has to be there.
So that's two different companies?
That's two different
companies.
Two different logistic companies.
So one logistic company is straight, don't stop. The other one is like the local route.
Yeah, local route, you know what I'm saying? And what, and the whole point, what we want to do, the goal is, to get to, you don't want to go to DSD, which is direct to store. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is get into the every major grocery chain, they have distribution plants, right? So we want to get into the distribution plants. You know, once you go, so I just want to take my bread to their distribution channels.
And let everybody take it from there.
And then let them handle their own logistics internally. It's cheaper for us.
So like Target has their own.
They have their own, yeah. So we're not going into every individual Target. We sending it to one distribution plant. I think they got like maybe seven.
Yep.
We send it to one, and out that one, they send it wherever it needs to go and make and fulfill those shelves and make that happen.
So that's game. We had to learn that.
Yeah, man. We had to pick that up, man. Because
that's a big game.
You know, the fastest way to fail is try to do it yourself. You know.
But DSD, it's still a quick process because it's like you gotta just all right, if it lasts 3 days, well, 3 days, that's a very short period of time.
Oh, it's extremely short. So yeah, so So in that aspect, if you're doing it 3 days, that got to be frozen.
Okay.
You have to freeze that because once you freeze it, it keeps it where it is, and then once
they can store it.
Yeah, they can store it, and then now they can still take 2 days to get there, mm-hmm. and then once they let it out and let it slack, which means like let it melt out, then it has 3 days from that point. You know,
so that's like when you put that sell by best
exactly.
Sell by. Okay,
exactly. So if you see like that little orange sticker on there,
yeah,
9 times of 10, that was probably a frozen product. You know what I'm saying? So they froze it, and then you could do it that way because that's the only way to do it. Because like you said, to otherwise, you know, it'd be molded by the time to get there.
So how do y'all balance the inventory, right? So I know sometimes, and I'm just talking from a standpoint of having merchandise. It's like you don't want to have too much and not be able to sell. Yeah. You don't want to have too few and you have a high demand. Yeah. So when you're doing this, like, is there a number that y'all have to produce every day?
No, we do not. So I go by POs only. I only order when they order. You know, bread is one of those industries, I can't pre-order it, you know, because if I pre-order it, it's just sit there. By the time you place an order, you know, I can't do that. So once an order comes in and say, hey, this company ordered, you know, XYZ, I could send that PO to my co-packer. My co-packer could produce it, make sure it's done at the time it needs to be done at. And then I have my truck driver pick the product up there and then take it directly where it needs to go. Gotcha. You know, yeah, I'm trying to get to the point where I don't see the product at all. You know, it needs to go directly from co-packer to where it needs to go. But it has to be POs.
Mm. So the first 30 days, it sounds like you were profitable.
Yes. Right?
Within the first 30. Yeah. I'm assuming that it's been profitable ever since.
Yeah.
So what are some of the expenses and some of the cash intensive processes of being in the bread industry?
Man, It's a ton of expensive, man. Everything that you can think of.
Manpower, yeah.
You got rent. You know, you got to have a facility. You know, so you got to have office space. You got rent. You got to have a truck. You got insurance. First of all, let's talk about this. Insurance. Insurance crazy. You know, because you got to have insurance where if anybody, you know, bite the bread and break a tooth or, you know, get choked or, you know, anything crazy happens, somebody want to sue you. You got to have insurance in place for that. These stores, they want to see insurance. You know, they got to be added onto the insurance. So if something happened with your product that they can go and make a claim.
The real estate, the shelf space.
Pay for that. The shelf space, you got to pay for that. You know, that's not cheap. You know, some of that shelf space could be, you know, $20,000 to $40,000 a month, you know, to sit on the shelf. What else you have? You got logistics companies that you got to pay for. You know, you have all type of fees. And one thing about the retail store, anything that don't sell depend on how you negotiate the contract when you go in. Either they you owe them a credit for that because they paid for it. Mm-hmm. Or you owe them some more product for that where they're not going to pay for it. So either way, you know, whatever don't sell, you know, you are responsible for that as well, which that could be expensive. You know, so if you send a store, you know, 2,000 loaves of bread and they only sell 1,000 loaves of bread, then you got to eat up that other $1,000.
Yeah. The social component, you got to sell it. You got to market
it. You got to market it.
Crazy. So it's like, You shooting videos, commercials, ads, yeah. You know, running ads. Even if you got social media, we got billboards, all kind of stuff. So you got that whole aspect yeah. where,
and that's one reason why we you know also is pivoting into you know the Black Bread University
media,
you know,
yeah.
because we want to you know showcase how to do this, how to do it properly, you know, how to make the right calls, you know, and how to grow your brand and how to get into the stores, and at the same time how you do not lose out on money. And going to the food service side. I love the food service side. Personally, I would rather do the food service side than the retail side because food service side, once they buy that, it's theirs.
Sure, yeah.
They don't return it. You know, you guys probably been to buffets and all the food is out, you know, in the different sky lounges and different things of that nature, right? If people don't touch it, they can't take that back. Like, hey, man, I ain't selling. Nobody ate these eggs or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, so they just throw it away or you know, give it away and they reorder. You know, versus, like I said, retail.
So buy
they could come back as a buyback for sure.
When you said something about the retail space and having shelf life, and I think we had a couple of conversations where you have to pay depending on where you want to be on the shelves.
Yeah.
Is that a store-by-store cases, or is that, like, let's say a big retail chain like Target?
Yeah.
If I'm paying to be on the second shelf in the bread section, I say on the second shelf in all Targets?
Yeah.
Or is it... How does that work?
So it's store by store. So a lot of these stores, they have their own process of how they're doing things. Sometimes they'll give you the space. And if you want to do something extra, like if you need more space, then they can charge you for that extra space. Or if you want like a end cap, you know, end caps is where you want to be because that's where a lot of the high volume is drawn because people are passing down the aisle. You know, everybody don't go into every aisle. Mm. But if you're walking down and you know, past the aisles, those end caps, you know, people picking those end caps
gets
up.
You every time.
Exactly. Every time. Yeah. So like if you want that space, sometimes you got to pay for that. You know, if you a minority, sometimes you can they'll give you certain minority discounts and different things of that nature. And sometimes they don't. So it just depends. So it's definitely a store by store basis for sure.
So what's the infrastructure as far as your company? Like how many employees? What's the roles? What's the deal?
So right now, man, we literally just downsize because like I said, we moving everything to New York. So you know, we had, you know, about 10 employees, things of that nature. Right now we down to 2, right? We back in the trenches, you know, we back doing it. And it's one of those situations where you gotta kinda dive down to build up, you know, where you wanna be at. You know,
the pivot.
It's a pivot that you know, we knew we was gonna hit this point at some point where you gotta shut everything that we doing like down for a second so that when it rebrands and rebuilds up, that you just that much stronger. You know, so that's where we are right now.
So what is the vision for the company like going forward, like in the next 5 years, 10 years, where do you see the brand?
Yeah. So in a realistic sense, man, the next 10 years I think is gonna be in every grocery chain store in the country and even around the world. Like we haven't talked about some of our international contracts, but you know, and I also feel it's going to be in every, at least not, you know, most of every restaurants. I think in the next 10 years, people are going to be eating black bread products and not knowing it's black bread products, you know, because those are the conversations that we're having now. You know, for example, we're about to be in, you know, a lot of these stadiums, you know, through Levy restaurants, you know, and that's another one of those things where you eating a hot dog or a cheeseburger, you know, or you at the McCormick place, you know, something like that. More likely it's going to be a black bread bun on there.
Like, as y'all were talking, it made me think, because you said the peanut butter and, well, the peanut butter sandwiches, and I automatically thought schools.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. I'm thinking, has that been a conversation that you had, especially coming from Chicago,
100%.
Especially being a black owned company, even New York City, where we're talking about health. Like, I was a health teacher.
Yeah, right.
And so imagine having a company that's coming in and talking about the healthy choices that they have and all healthy alternatives. Have y'all spoken to chancellors of school districts about bringing that into the bread into
100%.
Schools?
Institutions, definitely. And even that like from the tangible products, being in the schools and actually serving the youth like that, we also want to be in the schools physically ourselves, educate. It's time literally for us to continue to just reach into that next generation of thinkers and just opening our minds to what we can have and what we can do. So again, we really just want to be a picture of that and be active on the ground. We got information from our lived experiences from starting this business and doing other things, but now it's really just time for us to actually lock in and be physically in those spaces and grow and educate our people as we educate ourselves and just build more people, more things you like know, this.
And also as well as like prisons.
I was about to say, that was off my next thing.
Yeah. You know, like prison contracts is big contracts, you know, and at the same time, you know, they deserve healthier options as well, you know, to be able to eat well. And that's one unique thing about bread. And I pray like a lot more of us get into this industry, because it's so many opportunities that, you know, we can't take them all, you know, and they out here, you know. So like you got the prisons, you got the nursing homes, you got hospitals, you know, you got military bases, you know, like when you just think of the vast amount of places that you can put bread in, it's ridiculous, you know.
It's everywhere, really.
It's literally
it's already there.
Yeah, it's everywhere, yeah. You know. And then we ain't even get into like the franchises, man. McDonald's, you know, Burger King, Subway's, you know, like, you know, all of these, you know, legacy companies, if you will, you know, all have bread.
You so
know?
You're able to make your bread and not just slices. You're able to make buns. And
oh yeah, yeah. So man, we got buns. We got buns. We got New York bagels. So it's actual. They made in New York. You know, they made New York water.
They here,
you
know,
We got you. Yeah, right. It's some New York bagels, man. So like we had
to take y'all on a tour of the joint, man.
Because one thing, like you said, one thing we wanted to do, we didn't want, if we had a bagel, it got to be a New York bagel.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? Like imagine being a another type of
bagel. They got to prepackage your bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yes, exactly, for sure.
The staple of New York.
And nice. And that's what we're trying to do with the airlines right now in the airports. You know, so like it's crazy, man. It's so many opportunities. Like, you know, we're gonna be in Bermuda. You know, that's our first international contract. You know, in Bermuda, it's at one of the largest resorts and in the largest food grocery chains as well.
Just gotta catch those ships.
And yeah, we just gotta catch those ships, you know. Yeah. But it's a beautiful thing for sure.
So as far as like government contracts, is that something that you talked about the jails? Because that's what I was gonna ask you about the government contracts. Cause like, are you registered as an NWBE?
We're actually going through that process right now. We started a conversation maybe 6 months ago about some government contracts for Chicago and out in Texas, right? And that's in Texas. Yeah. So we're doing that process now, and it's a pretty simple, straightforward process. Well, I shouldn't say simple, but it's a straightforward process. And same thing with minority. It's another certification for like airports and airlines that people don't know about, you know. So we getting all of that.
Yeah, because like when you talk about government contract, a lot of times people they thinking like government contracts is like construction and stuff like that. Government contracts, but government contracts is anything,
it's anything,
right?
Man.
Like, and like you said, it's stuff that you don't even think about. Where in the federal government, like English muffins and
yeah.
croissants and bagels and bread, like in the cafeteria and yeah. like these, somebody's making it.
Hey, paper towels, toilet paper,
yeah, you know all that stuff,
like, all that stuff,
everything,
like, toothpaste, it's crazy. And this is all brands that we can start getting into that we don't have no real participation yeah. in.
Because nobody's know? Thinking about it.
Because no one's thinking like about it.
Like I said, everybody's thinking about the high level, you know, yeah. sexy, oh, I want exactly. construction and all that yep. stuff. But it's exactly. like, and that's important too. But like you said, nobody's thinking about toilet paper.
Nobody's thinking about toilet paper, bro. Imagine if you had toilet paper in 2020 when all the stores was going crazy and we was almost running out of it.
Hand sanitizer. You know,
hand sanitizer.
The gloves. People went crazy with this stuff.
Like, these companies, man, you can still be low key. You know, like you said, everybody want the sexy, everybody want the you know, Instagram appeal. But mm-hmm. the reality is, like, dude, this is for real generational wealth. Mm-hmm. This is for real true building. This is something that you can pass down to your kids. And at the same time, every company's not meant for you to pass down. You know, you got to have exit strategies. Some things you might want to just build up
and sell.
Yeah. You know, you build a brand around it, you build it up, and you sell it. And then, you know, you build another brand.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had for you when you were saying that there's companies that were reaching out.
Yeah.
And you was talking about, you know, the retail space, and I heard craft. And I'm thinking, like, are they looking to acquire the company? So have people approach you to say, we like what this brand is. We can see where it's going. Man, we want to be involved.
Listen, man, the first 3 months, the largest bread company in the world, man, reached out to us. Their acquisition team reached out to us.
Is Flowers brand?
Nah, they're bigger than Flowers.
Wow.
You know, and they was looking like
taking us out to dinner.
Yeah, taking us out to dinner and you know, so trying to like, hey, how you guys doing? Because once again, they don't know how big our piece of the pie gonna be. You know, because once people hear about the brand and they see it in the, like I say, it's followed by high quality. So I'm not with the you support me just because I'm black and you black. Mm-hmm. Support the brand because it's a good brand. You know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. You know, but 9 times out of 10, you know, you're gonna like the brand.
Was it a battle with coming up with the name? Because like when you said niche earlier, I'm like, is it niche by naming it the Black Bread Company? Did y'all like go back and forth with it, or did you say, you know what, this is something we have to decide on?
We talked about it, of course. Personally, I kind of stayed quiet because again, I sit back and I listen to the conversation. I feel like it's already, whatever you're creating, it's already been created. It's mm-hmm, already yeah. in the atmosphere. So for me, I just kind of sit and I listen and I observe. And we kept saying, we're starting the first Black bread company. You know, so yeah. for me, it was like the versus a or anything else is the. Mm-hmm. We are the first Black bread company. So we are the Black bread company. Anybody else can be whatever other company they want to be.
Yeah.
But we are the Black bread company. Just in a sense of... to me, it represents strength. Just the word black, it represents just being strong, yeah. being bold. Like we say, we're bold and fresh. So,
I got it.
Like, to me, that's just what it was. Everything I kept hearing kept bringing it back to Black Bread Co., the Black Bread Company.
Yeah.
So,
and also, like with that, the niche is black people. We're the only people that think of a race when we say black. Just FYI.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
anytime somebody say black, we the first one to think of people. You know, other, you know, individuals, they look at black as a color. You know, it's a color, you know, and black is a color. It means luxury. So like you say, so we're a luxury, we're a gourmet brand, you know what I'm saying? Like, and we're a black brand company, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, like the black means so much more than, you know, like a group of people, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's how I looked at it. I mean, because it's one of these things, obviously I know you, so I know yeah. it's black owned, but
exactly.
it's like the black album, right?
Or exactly
right. black labeled, like, or your yeah. business is in the black, like it's like if it was the red bread company, right?
Exactly.
It's like, so I don't necessarily think that because it is something to consider as far as you don't want to pigeonhole yourself to just black people,
right? Exactly.
But when I think of like the Black Bread Company, you don't necessarily automatically have to equate that to black people.
Exactly.
Right.
Like exactly. You said, it's just, hear. It's a color.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to make sure you're not offensive, you know, because at the end of the day, it is a business. You know, we want to make money. And hey guys, we don't own anything for real. So guess what? I can't put in your grocery store,
mm-hmm.
right? So I can't create something offensive and then say, hey, put this offensive brand into your store. You know, I can't do that. So, you know, so it has to be non-offensive, you know, but at the same time, we have to be proud and be able to stand up and say it's okay to be proud of who we are, you know, because nobody get offended when we say a French fry. The potatoes made in
Idaho, Idaho potato.
You mm-hmm. know, the people that are making it is Americans. You know, you frying it, but then all of a sudden it's a French fry.
But the branding, you know, the branding the brand. Is key.
Yeah.
As well. Mm-hmm. So again, when we talk about marketing and spending money to push your brand, that's a figurative thing. It's what you think about it. I appreciate yeah. what you thought when you heard Black exactly. Bread Company. That resonates. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. everybody has a certain thought in their mind of what the phrase or what the term means. And then when you see it, when you see us, when you see what we represent, when you see the brand on the shelf, what does it look like as opposed to any other brand? It should stand out. It should be something to it that another brand doesn't bring or doesn't represent. So really, like at the end of the day with a brand, it's a collection of your thoughts and what you think it is. When you see it, when you feel it, what does it make you feel?
That's facts.
You know what I mean? So we see that from all kinds of people. You know, sometimes we've been in the stores working and putting some of the bread on ourselves at the time. And yeah. you walk away and I see, you know, an Asian woman go buy the bread. Or, you know what I mean? People just go buy it because it looks good. Or they look at it, they read it, they see the mission statement and yeah. they get behind it. So,
yeah, for sure.
Like, the world is yours. Like, there's so many things you can do.
Right. So what's the marketing plan?
Oh, man. It's a world of things. Again, always being inclusive is one, and just pushing it out. That's why we're moving toward education again, because this started with us with what we didn't know.
Yeah. We knew what we knew. We know what we don't know.
Right. So the main thing is media, staying in front of the people, being active in our communities. That's really been the biggest push.
Social media is big for you?
Social is very huge.
Yeah.
The digital space is huge. I look at digital, even just digital real estate being huge and being key. The more spaces that we can take up and fill up,
yeah.
the more we can actually introduce and produce different various brands with the same model. So
well, talk about the universe. What's this university thing about?
Education. So again,
like, it's an educational portal where you're teaching people?
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, we've been able to build and scale brands
yeah.
In various ways in the digital space. And also with tangible products. So even between the two of us, it's just bridging those gaps and merging it together nice. Because that's what got us here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Me, like I said, I think in that digital real estate space of getting a product up online, e-commerce, different things in that avenue. And Mark is driven toward, you know, the physical products, things that, and we bridge that together even to start this company. And we've pivoted back and forth. You know, there were times mm-hmm. where the digital and e-commerce was our lifeline, you know what yeah. I mean? Selling, shipping online, things of that nature was, you know, really our bread and butter, if you will. And then now there are times where, okay, we on the shelves, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got food service going, and that's been a lifeline. Yeah. So just bridging those gaps and building that community where we can learn and grow together and educate our people on yeah. tangible products, being in these spaces, building things, and realizing all of these things around us. It's an energy to it, and somebody's making money off of it. Somebody's generating revenue off of all of these things that we use. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just becoming a part of that.
And we got 3 ebooks too. That we dropping this week. You know, as well. You know,
Black Bread University, Mastermind Your Business.
Yeah, exactly. So
y'all documented the process as y'all were going through the journey.
100%. You have to. You know, I mean, because this is, you know, you got to have your blueprint. You got to know how you started. You know, you got to be able to see even your mistakes. Like, I love failures. You know, people might get weird with that, but failures are my favorite lessons to learn, because those are the lessons that you don't repeat. You know, those are the mistakes that you don't repeat, and you grow from them. So anytime that, you know, there's an opportunity to jump out and to fail, I'm excited about it. You know, a lot of people, they'll fail and they'll kind of walk away. For me, okay, that's one way not to do it. Or, you know, if I would have done this time, it would have been that much better. So even with the past businesses that I had, you know, all of them made money, you know, however, they all failed in different ways, you know, and then all of that I learned, I could put into the Black Bread Company, and it's doing crazy numbers, right? Because I've made so many mistakes, you know, mismanaging money, misdoing this, you know, like you do that, like, you know what I'm saying, as a young entrepreneur that you don't get taught how to do business, you know. And as we learn, you know, we want to teach, you know. And even if it's just one person that we can help, you know, that's what we're looking to do, you know. And then, like you said, merging that physical product to digital, I think that's how you keep a physical product independent, where the world is going more towards digital anyway. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people ordering their groceries online. So if you order your groceries online, like we have subscription base, right? Now you can take bread off your grocery list. You know, your bread going to hit your doorstep. You know, you're going to be, you know what I'm saying, you're going to have that when you're ordering the rest of your groceries. It's already there. So if we had, you got, like I said, a hot sauce or barbecue sauce that you want to go to market with, you can have your physical product. But one thing I would say, let's strengthen up, make sure you have a co-packer so you can, on demand, when it's time to grow, you have that option. You know, the issue is, you know, like I said, we want to do it ourselves. You cannot do it yourselves. That's how you get stuck in your business. You want to work on it. You don't want to work in it. Mm-hmm. You know, the moment that you start working inside of your business, that's when you get stuck, because if you're not working, you're not making money.
Right.
And if you're not making money, you're not able to really scale. And if you're not able to scale, then what are you doing? You know, you should be able to scale up, and sometimes you got to scale back. Then you can just to scale up even higher, right?
So the breadwinners are the people that are inside of the university? Is that how correct. That works?
Shout out to the breadwinners.
Yeah, shout out to the breadwinners. Yeah. So the breadwinners is our community. You know, those are the individuals who support us, who help us, and then we pour back into them as well. You know, so we really big on, you know, giving back. We really big on, you know, going to schools, talking with the kids, you know, mentoring, you know. Shout out to, you know, Dr. Eric Thomas. You know, he took us underneath his wing, you know.
Oh, yeah, he told me about you guys before.
E.T.
Shout out to E.T. and the team, CJ, yeah. You know. They took us underneath their wing, you know what I'm saying? And so when he go to different schools, he invite us out. You know, he was just in Chicago last week, you know, and doing it at a church. You know, he invited us out. We had bread at the church. It was a good time. He gave an incredible message. And we love that. You know, we love being connected to the people. You know, even like we have like homeless communities, you know, in Chicago. We don't just go and like give food and just, you know, like sit stuff, because they don't like that, man. There's a lot of rodents and rats and all type stuff there. So we go and ask them, what do they need? You know, they need heaters in the wintertime, little self-portable heaters that, you know, they can't burn themselves up. You know, if anything touch it, it cuts off. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They need tents, you know, they need, you know, some thick clothing, you know, things of that nature. Sometimes they need soap. They need toothpaste. They need the same things that we need. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people don't take the time to go and talk to them. So,
or,
you know,
or a gift card for a restaurant.
Yeah, they exactly. Yeah.
They don't get welcome in restaurants
because they want hot food. So we go to different restaurants and buy gift cards and then just go there and just pass them the gift cards out. You know, so when they ready to go eat, hey, man, take this. And then we talk to the manager, let them know, like, hey, like, listen, please serve them. You know, they come in, place their order, even if they got to wait outside, you know, so they don't, you know, like, mess with the other guests. It is what it is. Just we want to make sure that you guys serve them, mm-hmm. you know. And oftentimes, you know, we haven't had an issue so far.
So you guys merch too?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is the merch, man, right here. So, yeah, we got merch, Black man. Jackets. Black Bear University hoodies, hats.
I like the jackets, mm-hmm. man.
Thank you, man.
Dope you got to get the brand, right?
Dope and fresh,
hey,
man.
Hey, let me get y'all sizes, man. We got y'all.
Got you.
We appreciate doing it. Collaboration.
Appreciate it. So, sure. All right, man. Well, this was dope, man. I appreciate you guys. Before we leave, let the people know, you know, where to follow you.
Yeah.
Where to order the bread, website, social media handles, all that.
All day. Well, we got Black Bread University, so that's blackbreaduniversity.com, Black Bread University on all social media. I'm Jamel Lewis, Jamel Lewis Music on all social media.
Yeah, I'm Mark Edmond. I'm Mark V Success across, I think, majority of the media. Yeah, Black Bread University.
I got one last thing for y'all. I'm going to ask y'all individually. Y'all can just complete the sentence, all right? Mm-hmm. In 2023, the Black Bread Company will be?
Everywhere.
In 2023, man, the Black Bread Company will be amongst the best, the top of the bread companies, for sure.
It is.
It's going to
speak into existence.
Get your daily bread.
Get your daily bread.
I'll let it know.
Very important. Troy, housekeeping items.
Yeah, shout out to everybody on patreon.com. Shout out to all our earners inside of EYL University, the new and improved EYL University. Shout out to all of y'all. Shout out to all of our people on Market Mondays, our supporters, our group chat, everybody that's been part of that. It's been dope. And shout out to you, man, everybody that's been tuning in to Earn Your Leisure, making it the number one place for everything in the world of business and entrepreneurship. We greatly appreciate y'all and thank y'all. And shout out to everybody supporting the merch. I got my Ernest brand on. Shout out to his access to liabilities. And shout out to these gentlemen, man. This has been really dope. I had an aha moment. I felt like it was a trucking episode when I was like, you know, you don't realize that this is a business. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about all the places that bread shows up in. So this was one of those ones for me. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Hey, shout out to Connect the Stars, man. Without her, we couldn't be here. So thank you, Star. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.